Brethren, we will not have you ignorant concerning them that are asleep, that you be not sorrowful, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them who have slept through Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you in the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them who have slept. For the Lord himself shall come down from heaven with commandment, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead who are in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, shall be taken up together with them in the clouds to meet Christ into the air, and so shall we be always with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. That taken from St. John. At that time, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But now also I know that whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith to her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, although he be dead, shall live. And everyone that liveth and believeth in me shall not die forever. Believest thou this? She saith to him, Yea, Lord, I have believed that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, who art come into this world. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Most of you don't know Kathy Reimer. She was actually here once or twice, perhaps, but she was a member of our old mission in Chadwick, Illinois, the St. Joseph Mission. And I was thinking today about my little sermon and Kathy's life. But here again is another story of God's providence. How maybe a year or two before she developed cancer, she found her way back to the true Catholic faith. God arranged it so that she would not be lost in the Novus Ordo, so that she would have a priest, although not there at the moment that she died. She would have a priest who would give her all of the last rites, extreme unction, Holy Communion, hear her confessions, and give her many blessings which are reserved for the sick. You can see God's hand in that. That here she is one among billions of people alive in the world today, and God looked at her and said, I want you. And arranged everything to bring her, just before her death, back to the true faith and the true sacraments. How good God is. She was a devout parishioner. Remember, she would say her rosaries and come to Mass whenever she could, and was most happy to be at the Holy Sacrifice. For a while, she became sick and then could no longer travel to Mass, and so the priest would go out to South Beloit to visit with her a little bit. And she was always in pain, and yet she would have little complaints here and there, but overall, she was very resigned to Almighty God's will that she should be suffering. It was her purgatory on earth. That being said, St. Cajetan, remember what I said last night, those of you who are here? St. Cajetan once said that there are two paths to heaven. The first path to heaven is innocence. If you are innocent, you are on the right path to heaven. But if by reviewing your past life, you find that you are not innocent, that you have committed sins, albeit mortal sins, then your only way to heaven is through penance and mortification. That is the way to heaven for the majority of mankind. And those who had not done enough penance would go through the justice of God, who requires that all be paid back. They would go to purgatory. We look back to the Old Testament. Adam had fallen. He had listened to his wife, Eve, and he had eaten the apple. For this sin, God forgave him. It is right there in sacred scripture that he forgave Adam. Nonetheless, it was required that he pay back what he had taken from God. And so for 900 years, he lived on earth doing penances which our modern day man would never be able to comprehend. 900 years. King David, he once, against the express will of God, took a census of his people. He counted them all up, but it was precisely against God's will. But he had done it anyway. But David had repented of this sin and of having offended God. But still God appeared to him and said, David, for what you have done, because of your transgression of my law, you must choose between three scourges. God had already forgiven him, but now it had to be made up for. You must choose between three scourges. And he left the option to David. The first is a plague. The second was war. The third was famine. And King David said to Almighty God, it is better to fall into the hands of the merciful God than into the hands of man. And so he chose the pestilence. This pestilence lasted for 3 days. And it says that 70,000 of his subjects were killed or died during that pestilence. Where we think of Magdalene, what an awful life of sin she lived. And yet when she converted, what do we read after our Lord died about her penances? She went off into a cave to live as a hermitess for 30 years, doing penance for all of her sins. Now, the fathers of the church tell us that the pains in purgatory seem to be equal to the sufferings that our blessed Lord experienced in his passion. That is what the fathers of the church say. And they say that were the slightest suffering of our Lord during his passion to be divided out equally and given to every man, that those men would die of the pain. And yet, purgatory is a place where you can no longer die. You must endure those sorts of pains. Oh, there is the fire of purgatory too. Remember that it the same fire that burns in hell burns also in purgatory. It is one and the same fire, with this distinction, that while the fire in hell burns for all eternity, purgatory, the fires of purgatory will end. And then we can almost hear our loved ones still in purgatory crying out to us of how awful the suffering of the separation from God, which they could so easily have prevented in their lifetime, how painful that separation is, even though they know they will go to heaven. They are as yet separated from God for a time when they know that they should have already been there. That is a terrible pain for a soul who so loves God. There are also many joys in heaven, but we won't, in purgatory, but we will not go into those. The purpose of this sermon, or the goal, is to soften your hearts, to remember always to pray for the poor souls. I've said it many times. We live in a faithless age. There is no more supernatural. All the miracles of our Lord's divinity have been outright denied by the modernist heretics. The world no longer believes in hell or in Satan, and in many cases in heaven, or the soul, the spirituality of the soul. They no longer believe these things. And so for the world, there is no more purgatory. And if there is no purgatory, why pray for the souls who are there? They are left abandoned. Many of them are your parents and your grandparents, maybe your children, your friends. And as the curé of ours said in his sermon on purgatory, they seem to cry out to you. See all that I have done for you in life, to raise you properly, to provide for you well. All the love that I showed you, do not abandon me. Do not leave me to burn in this pit. You can help me, they say, by a single prayer, by a tiny mortification, by doing your duties of state in life with love and as well as you can, by offering masses for the poor souls, by doing any act of piety, including that of giving alms to the poor, or to our little St. Anthony's Bread Fund, doing acts of charity, and any other act of piety, they can free the souls from purgatory. And you, by that little action, think of it. You might be the very one who on this day sets free a soul from purgatory. You unbind his hands and his feet, and he flies directly to the face of God. And he begins to enjoy perfect and unalterable bliss in heaven. You could be the one. You must then look today to yourself. If you are suffering through illness or old age or anything else that is going on in your life. And normally it's a trigger that makes you sort of flip, whether through anger or worry or anything else. Take that gift from God, that cross, wrap it up with a little bow and send it up to purgatory, where God will give that gift to some dear soul, and you will console him, maybe even set him free. Look to yourselves today and offer up all that you can for these dear holy souls. For remember that if we pray for them and if we send them to heaven by our devoted acts, then remember that when they are there singing to Almighty God, the praises of God for all eternity. That soul remembers what you have done for him. He remembers it clearly, precisely, that you freed him from suffering, that you sent him to eternal bliss. And now that this soul sees God face to face, you better believe that he is now your greatest benefactor, mentioning you by very name at the throne of God, praying for your health of body and of soul, praying for your final perseverance and for your eternal salvation. You better believe it. So make as many friends as you can on this day, friends from purgatory, soon going to heaven. But remember today particularly to pray for this dear soul whose funeral mass we are offering today, Kathy Reimer, who again is one of those poor souls with a family, no other family member in the traditional Catholic movement. And I fear that she will be left without people to pray for her. Remember her. Make her one of your friends as well. And they will be, together with Kathy, your greatest benefactors. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.